Sometimes we treat God more like a casual companion rather than a sacred being who deserves our utmost respect and reverence. So how do we avoid this dangerous attitude? How do we recalibrate our perspective? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to consider the experience of an ancient king who encountered the awesome holiness of God. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. As we examine this fascinating portion of Scripture, our mission is to gain a whole new appreciation for the holiness of God. Chuck begins by leading us in prayer.
Our Father, on this epochal, memorable day, we pause and acknowledge your hand in bringing us here. Because your presence is here, it's a holy place. And because it is holy, it is set apart for your purposes. Thank you, Father, for the climactic moment of walking in and seeing what you have provided through the faithful giving of your people. Thank you for our comfortable and safe place, whereas so many have been left homeless and broken, disillusioned, and discouraged because of the storm that has swept across their city or their town. We pray for them today. We ask you to uphold and strengthen and even encourage them by their presence here. May they gain a new perspective of your hand in their lives. And the same for those who protect us on the battlefield today. Watch over each one. Bring them, Father, ultimately back to their homes and families, to the place of safety and joy as they look back on what they have accomplished. Ours is a nation that has lost its way. With what we are facing in the imminent future, Lord, we need your guidance, and we pray that you will have your way as you use any number of media to communicate an understanding of what the issues are. And may we as good citizens respond wisely and well. Lord, we give our gifts today out of gratitude, and we also do so with great joy. We can't help but smile today, and in the sacrifice of our lips of praise, we also give the gifts of our lives and for what you have provided. This we believe, our Father, and we entrust this to you for your greater glory. In the name of the Savior, everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Holiness of God.
We come to church and we see one another, but Isaiah went to the temple and he saw the Lord. He literally saw him. And where was he? Exalted, lofty, high and lifted up. And the long robe of the Lord filled the temple where Isaiah was. And if that wasn't enough, Isaiah looked around him and he saw the seraphim flying around the presence of the living God. Let me help you with this. There's a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. This is in the third heaven. This is in the throne room of God. The throne room of God, a place you and I have never been. We can only imagine. Isaiah has been transported there in this vision, and he sees into the throne room the presence of Yahweh, the Lord himself. And along with that, his eyes are open to supernatural beings. I've said for years, if we could see the presence of angels, we would all be taken back. They fill this room. They fill your home if yours is a home of believers. They accompany you on your journey. They watch over you. They are your guardians and guides, even though you may not know they're there. And rarely do we even think of them. But Isaiah's eyes are opened, and he sees these angelic creatures called seraphim. Saraph is the Hebrew word for burn, to burn. When Hebrews made words plural, they didn't add an S. We would say seraphs in our English language. In Hebrew, it's seraphim, like cherub and cherubim. These are multiple angels, and we don't know their number. We don't know how many there were, but the seraphim stood above the Lord. Please observe here and in verse 6, the only two places in all the Bible where seraphim are mentioned. There are various categories of angels, and that's another subject, but this category mentioned here, only here, they are the white, hot, burning, brilliant presence of angelic creatures that fill the throne room of God and flood him with praise. We read they have two wings, and with two wings they cover their faces, and two other wings they cover their feet, and with the other two wings they are flying. They are flying. Imagine that. They are flooding the presence of the Lord God. Is there any reason that they're covering their faces and their feet? We're not told why. Most likely feeling unworthy to be in the presence of the all-holy God, as you and I would feel. And with wings they cover their face, with wings they cover their feet, and with the other two they fly. Isaiah stands as you would have stood, with his mouth wide open in the temple, no longer preoccupied with his own grief and the loss of the king, realizing he is seeing what human eyes have never seen before. And if seeing them isn't enough, he heard from them. One called to another. These angels are announcing, "This is the Lord of hosts." Isaiah, this is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He is now standing stunned with their presence. And if that isn't enough, the foundations of the threshold trembled. The foundations of this stone temple shaking, trembling, with the voice of the angelic creatures sounding like a thousand Niagara Falls in one epical moment. And if that isn't enough, the building begins to be filled with smoke. Remarkable moment. I'd like to go on with the story, but it's time to pause and to let the wonder in as we rediscover a forgotten truth. Holy, holy, holy. The three times repeated suggests the idea of infinitely holy. What does it mean? Well, J.I. Packer, in an outstanding book titled Knowing God, puts it very succinctly. The basic idea which the word holy expresses is that of separation or separateness. When God is declared to be holy, the thought is of all that separates him and sets him apart and makes him different from his creatures. An outstanding definition. It means God is separate from all the things that contaminate and aggravate and mark our lives. And his being infinitely holy means that there is an infinite sense of his purity. In fact, John writes in 1 John 1:5, God is light. In him is what? No darkness at all. We would say today, not a trace of darkness. Not a piece of dirt. Not a hint of corruption or iniquity. God is light. Now, I would suggest right about now Isaiah is wide awake. Wouldn't you think it wouldn't be business as usual right about now? Here is a simple prophet who has not yet uttered a word of prophecy. His whole life is in front of him. He's still young. He doesn't know the Lord will use him to communicate more about the Messiah than any other prophet who would ever live. He doesn't know he is going to contribute one of the larger books to the entire Bible. He doesn't know what's in front of him. He doesn't know he's going to marry a prophetess and the two of them will have two sons. He doesn't know that ultimately, according to tradition, he would be sawn in two as a martyr. He knows nothing like that. He is now, as we are often in a moment of worship, lost in wonder and love and praise. The building is filling with smoke. The robe is filling the temple room. The angels are announcing back and forth, holy, holy, holy. It's deafening. And all of a sudden, things change for Isaiah. Woe is me. I'm ruined. One of the translations renders this, I'm finished. It's curtains. I mean, being around this kind of holiness and hearing it said from the other angelic creatures and seeing with my own eyes him sitting in blazing white light glory, suddenly he realizes how unholy he is. No one points it out. I love that. He spontaneously understands how distant he is from the one who is holy. He says, woe is me, I am ruined. Why, Isaiah? Why do you feel finished, ruined? Well, look. He tells us, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I love the way the Living Bible renders this. My doom is sealed, for I am a foul-mouthed sinner, a member of a foul-mouthed race. It may shock you for me to ask the question, but do you struggle with profanity? Don't answer out loud. Do you, in a moment of haste, blurt out some ugly word, some coarse statement? You're not proud of that. Of course you're not. If you were in the presence of a holy God, you would suddenly be reminded of that foul statement you made. That's exactly where Isaiah is. This isn't just a nice word to fit into the scriptures so that God's people can read it down through the centuries. He is confessing his sin. I live in the midst of a people who curse, and I curse. I went to a high school where the kids cussed. I never heard cussing at home. I thought for the first time in my life, hey, it's pretty cool. I think I'll try some of those words. My sister heard me. And in great sisterly fashion, she says, I'm going to tell Daddy. All of a sudden, my lips were sort of clean all over again. I got in the Marine Corps and I heard familiar words again. Because in the Corps, that's what's part of a lifestyle. There isn't a sentence said without a cuss word. It's remarkable. I don't know why that makes you feel like a man, but for some, their vocabulary is so limited, they got to rely on those kind of words. If this is too shocking for you, I apologize, but I honestly believe that's Isaiah. I believe that's his struggle. I believe Isaiah is saying, Lord, I say things when I shouldn't say them. Lord, I use words I shouldn't use. I lack control verbally. I am impatient with my tongue. And so when I hear these angels and when I see how separate you are from this lifestyle, being holy, I'm not worthy. I'm finished. You're done with me, I'm sure. The thing I appreciate about this is the spontaneity of it. There is no shaming statement from the throne of God. There is no wagging of a finger saying, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. The man expresses his inadequacy, his lack of holiness, his filthy language, perhaps his habit of exaggerating or gossip. There are a dozen different ways we can have foul mouths. And he's standing guilty before a holy God. He's literally on holy ground. And he's exposed to the Holy One. Watch closely. Look at what happens. Then. I love connectives like that. Little four-letter word, then. Verse 6 begins. When. When. When you see then, ask when. Right after Isaiah's confession, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. Then. There isn't any hesitation. There isn't even a word spoken. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. Picture it in your mind. It's hard to imagine, but picture it. The seraph picks up this coal and reaches over, verse 7, and touches Isaiah's mouth with it. Listen. Psst. Does that help? All of a sudden, the moisture of his lips and the hot burning coal meet. Do you find it intriguing, as I do, that the coal touches his mouth? Why, of course. Why, that's where his sin is. I think it's magnificent how the Lord pinpoints things in our lives as we're in the presence of his people and the gathering of worship like this. All of a sudden, truth be told, you who have really entered into this message today, you're already turning over in your mind your area. And you know it, I don't know it, and that's good. I've got my own stuff to deal with, and they're going over in my mind. And I long for the coal to touch me at that area. I invite it. David wrote in Psalm 51:17, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." I urge you to be as broken as Isaiah. I urge you to say, "Lord, this is my struggle. This is the unholy part of my existence. I've picked it up from the world system, and I've begun to perfect it. I'm around dishonest people, and Lord, I become a lot dishonest. I don't tell the whole truth. Sometimes I hold back because it's a little easier to compromise. Lord, I am almost pure, but not altogether." By the way, speaking of that, I came across a very interesting bit of research. Let's say that something is 99.9% perfect. Okay? That's pretty good, huh? 99.9%. Okay? Would that be a problem? Well, according to this research, this year alone, the IRS would lose 2 million documents if it were 99.9% accurate. You say, well, some things are true, aren't they? And the next, do you know that 12 babies every day would be given to the wrong parents at birth? I mean, if 99.9% were accurate, the 0.1% would be 12 babies a day would go to wrong parents. You're thinking, maybe that's what happened to me. No, that's not fair. Look at this next one. 291 pacemaker operations would be performed incorrectly. 291 this year would be performed incorrectly. 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions would be written and filled. 99.9. Is there any question why God is altogether completely holy? There's no room for anything less. Otherwise, he'd be unjust 0.1% of the time. And there'd be reason to blame and doubt and question. But there's none here. He touches my mouth. This holy God touches my mouth. Now, what is interesting, and hold your place here, is that Peter, who walked with Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, writes a word of exhortation to his readers. 1 Peter 1, 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, look at the words, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. When you misinterpret that, you think that has to do with the clothing you wear or the music you prefer or the car you drive or the vacations you enjoy as different from someone. It has nothing to do with the externals. It has to do with the inside part of our lives. It all starts with a transformation. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you'll recall from that section in Romans 12, it is our holy act of worship. Look closely. Back to verse 7. This is from the Lord. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Oh, is there any line better than that? My son, I've heard your confession. Psst. Count on it. I've forgiven you that. Your iniquity from these many, many days and months and years of this habit, taken away. Taken away. Only God can do that. How wonderful.
In a message delivered to the congregation at Stonebriar Community Church, Chuck Swindoll spoke about the holiness of God. It seemed like just the right subject as they celebrated moving into their new worship center. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll and the Ministry of Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, in times of transition, nothing is more important than maintaining our vertical focus. It's all too easy to assume our accomplishments are man-made rather than ordered by our sovereign God. Well, that's certainly been our experience at Insight for Living Ministries. From the beginning, dating back to our first broadcast in 1979, we've seen God's handprints all over this ministry. He alone has accomplished what none of us could. In fact, we're receiving feedback from our audience every day that affirms how God is working to change lives in places and in people we never thought possible. For instance, someone just left a message on our Facebook page explaining how this program inspired him to keep fighting the good fight while serving as a lonely missionary in the slums of Nepal and India. Well, we'd love for you to join in this worthy effort to reach more people with a touch of God's grace. In a moment, I'll explain how you can get in touch with Insight for Living. First, though, just a few weeks ago, we had occasion to sit down with Chuck Swindoll for a one-on-one conversation. He took a few moments to express his passion for the ministry of Insight for Living and to explain what this program, now in its 41st year, is all about.
We are delivering the fragrance of grace through Jesus Christ to the world. We're delivering the fragrance of grace. Isn't that a great way to picture it in your mind? Grace has an aroma. It has an appeal to it, like a lovely bowl of fresh roses. You put them in a room, the room catches the fragrance of those blooms. We're delivering this fragrance of grace. If there is one theme I hope that is heard regularly in our broadcast ministry. It is grace. Grace. Mm-hmm. Not just God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves and could never repay him for, but what we do for others. Random acts of grace, where we reach out to those that don't expect our reach, where we put an arm around a shoulder to those who don't expect to be encouraged by us. We love doing that. And I mean love doing it. It's delivering the fragrance of grace around the world through Jesus Christ. And because it says it so well, we want that phrase to become one of those catchphrases in our Insight for Living outreach. I think the fragrance of grace, when it washes over you, prompts generosity. When you realize you've gotten something for nothing, which really was not for nothing, it just took the life of Christ that was paid on our behalf so that the payment was made in full, that I might have his life delivered to me to be lived out, then it does something to you. And you realize you're not your own. You realize what God has granted you is to be shared.
And if you've received Chuck's recent letter, you know he's inviting you to become a monthly companion. That's the name we've given our loyal friends who give a donation every month. To become a monthly companion right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Let me repeat that phone number one more time. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll's message about the holiness of God continues Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Holiness of God, was copyrighted in 2008, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.